This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, inner cities and supermarkets or farmers markets, why there aren't many of the latter in the former, and why that may lead to health problems. We'll also have a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. A panel of community leaders studying the long-range needs of the Champaign School District discussed some of the major criticism facing the school system at a meeting last night. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
At their November meeting, the Unit 4 Vision Committee outlined some of the goals for academics and facilities that members want the school district to reach in the years ahead. But last night, they talked about the major criticisms that the district faces. School board member Greg Novak observed the meeting and said a crisis of confidence seemed to be a recurring theme.
Whether it's the fact that our facilities are old and we haven't had a plan to update them, whether we have questions about do we have the leadership to take us forward. The lack of confidence in the community is what I hear most of all.
In the months ahead, the Vision Committee plans to seek input from more community members. They'll be invited to serve on specialized working groups, and community forums will be held to gather more public input. Committee member Laura Weiss of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce says she hopes the process works, but lays out her bottom line concern.
We could have the greatest plans in the world, we could be ready to implement them, but how is it going to get paid for?
The Vision Committee could recommend a plan for another school bond referendum, but Unit 4 officials say that's up to the members. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The next Vision Committee meeting is set for January 10th. The Iroquois County Clerk faces criminal charges after a grand jury indictment. The state attorney general's office says the panel handed up 8 indictments last week against Mark Henricks. Spokesman Scott Mulford says he can't discuss the nature of the charges against Henricks, but he's due in court for arraignment January 10th on 2 counts apiece of theft and forgery and 4 counts of official misconduct.
Those 2 counts of theft of government property, 1 count is theft over $10,000 of government funds. That's a Class 1 felony. The other count is theft under $10,000, which is a Class 2 felony.
Mulford says the AG's office will prosecute the case in place of the Iroquois County State's Attorney. James Devine hasn't returned a phone call seeking comment. Henricks, a Republican who has served since 1998, is due to appear in court January 10th for arraignment. No warrant is issued for his arrest. He has served as county clerk for 9 years. Henricks' attorney, Frank Samudis, declined to comment on the case yesterday. The woman whose body was found in a burning house in Penfield on Tuesday apparently died of smoke and soot inhalation. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says that's the conclusion of an autopsy conducted yesterday, but authorities still haven't been able to identify the woman. Northrup says efforts to do so are continuing, and it may be complete late today. Firefighters found the woman's body while trying to put out the Tuesday morning fire on Penfield's East Street. 5 people graduated yesterday from Vermilion County's drug court program, but a lack of funding for a similar service could reduce that number in the future. Prairie Center Health Systems helps administer treatment to the program's recovering drug addicts. 28 people to date have completed drug court in Vermilion County, while nearly 80 have finished it in Champaign County. About half of all those graduates have been a part of Prairie Center's day treatment program. It was set up 2 years ago to address long waiting lists of those with addictions like methamphetamine, but funding was cut by $200,000 late this year as part of a budget veto by Governor Rod Blagojevich. Prairie Center's Director of Development, Betty Seidel, says its staff is still trying to recoup that money.
We are continuing to work both locally for additional funding through the county or, you know, other local means, and we are continuing to work with our state legislators that have been very, very open and willing to reintroduce a funding bill that could help us to sustain that program.
While the day treatment program continues, the state funds that Prairie Center lost were used for ancillary services like transportation, nutrition, and physical fitness. The program lost those funds November 1st. A legal maneuver by Illinois State University's retirement system has brought in nearly $6 million for its trust fund. In 2005, a class action lawsuit was brought against Quest Communications. The telecom company was alleged to have made a series of accounting missteps that inflated its stock price, hurting shareholders like CSRS. The Retirement System's Executive Director, Dan Slack, says its board of directors opted not to take the standard course of joining the class action.
But because we felt that we had some Illinois state law claims that we could bring in addition to the federal securities laws, we decided it was appropriate to bring this case directly. And you know, fortunately, our decision was tremendously validated and vindicated by the settlement that we achieved in the case.
CSRS came away with a settlement of more than $5.8 million, while its share of the class recovery would have been less than $50,000. Slack says because of the retirement system's broad market exposure, it's important that CSRS earn gains in the marketplace and take advantage of well-managed corporations. As Illinois lawmakers wrangle over support for Chicago-area mass transit funding, a study finds helping out the system makes economic sense. A business group, Chicago Metropolis 2020, found there would be a solid return on investment. According to the study, funding public transportation would increase business productivity and job opportunities. Jim LaBelle is the organization's vice president. He says the alternative is unacceptable.
If you don't maintain the asset and maintain the service, it has an economic cost to the region. If they didn't approve any additional funding and let the system fall into decline, it would cost the region over $2 billion a year in economic damages.
LaBelle says state government should go beyond a temporary bailout of the RTA and consider long-term mass transit needs. His group is supporting a plan for a regional sales tax to provide what he terms a dependable revenue source. That plan has yet to win legislative support. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Most of us don't have to think too much if we want fresh fruits, vegetables, or other foods. We drive to the supermarket or the farmer's market and find whatever we're looking to buy. But for many people living in the inner city, it can be tough to find fresh foods. From the Environment Report, Julie Grant tells us that can lead to health problems.
Neighbors have been counting down the days for this store to open. The bright lights, the shiny floors, 217,000 square feet of retail and grocery. This Walmart supercenter offers produce bins overflowing with dark leafy kale, imported plantains, and a rainbow of green, yellow, and red apples. Mother of two, Dion Smith, says she's glad it's here.
I've been looking at the prices. I mean, because I was looking at this in a regular store, that's like $2.79. Here's $1.50. So it's pretty good.
You're looking at the Velveeta mac and cheese?
Mm-hmm.
This Walmart is located on the south edge of Cleveland. It's part of the first new shopping center in city limits in decades. But it's close to the suburbs, not an easy trip from most of the low-income neighborhoods to the northeast, places where it's tough to find fresh foods.
Still laughing, girl.
In this poorer area, a lot of people who come to see dietitian Sherry Collier have problems with diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. Collier says the health center opened adjacent to a supermarket a few years ago. She planned to show people firsthand how to improve their diets.
So I was very excited about the idea of having a grocery store nearby because he felt it was easier to teach people how to shop by having live models, taking you into the grocery store, showing you which aisles have the appropriate foods, how to pick food labels, how to shop based on what's available for you in the area that you're living.
But it didn't work out. Just 6 months after the health center opened, the supermarket closed. Today, Collier looks around at what's left on the food landscape near her health center.
Well, we got like a couple of beverage stores, like, you know, check cashing stores that might have beverage and food and snacks in there. We have a McDonald's, Burger King, a Subway, KFC. Those are the main things you see right away. So a lot of stuff that you can get that's quick. And then they have the United Convenient Market, have a lot of, you know, convenience type foods, some snacks and some alcohol, of course, and some pops and beverages. So we don't have as many. The two grocery stores we did have in the area are closed down.
Collier takes us to what's now called the grocery store in this neighborhood. You can buy milk here and cereal, juice, but there's no produce aisle, no fresh fruits or vegetables, only canned vegetables, no fresh meat. Collier picks up a can of something called potted meat and says this is the kind of food that can lead to her clients' health problems.
It's chicken, pork skin, and that's my concern is because that skin is high in fat, and that's what's giving them a lot of extra cholesterol and saturated fat. So not only is it says it's chicken, a person may think they're getting chicken, but they're actually getting chicken with pork fat all over it. So it's not the healthiest option.
Collier tries to educate her clients about the high fat and salt content in potted meats, processed boxed foods, and even many canned vegetables. She says people on limited incomes buy these foods because that's what's available.
Someone just said earlier, because I'm in a neighborhood and I can get to that store to get what I need, you know, so to them it's like I can get more of these and still have money left over to buy something else I want.
That's one reason why stores sell cheap processed foods in poor inner city neighborhoods, while the supermarkets with fresh foods close down. Getting quality produce often depends on the wealth of your neighborhood. Researchers have found that again and again. Dr. Anna Diaz-Rue is with the University of Michigan.
It's like a vicious cycle. So, you know, stores offer what people want to buy, but people can only buy what the stores offer. So it becomes a self-perpetuating cycle.
And Diaz-Rue says without supermarkets or other ways to get fresh produce and meats, certain people will face more health problems.
In particular, healthy food options are less available in poor and minority neighborhoods than they are in wealthy and white neighborhoods.
Diaz-Rue says that's one reason poor neighborhoods have higher rates of diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease. She says public policy is starting to address this problem in two ways, by educating consumers and providing incentives to stores to carry healthier foods in poor neighborhoods. But progress is slow, eating habits are hard to change, and stores don't want to stock perishables that don't sell. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Next chance of a significant snowfall may come Saturday. In the meantime, we'll see a mostly cloudy sky in central Illinois today, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser. Illinois and northwest Indiana will see a cloudy day. In northeast Indiana, clouds with some snow early. Central and southern Indiana should see clouds with rain tapering off from west to east during the morning. Highs today will range from 32 in northern Illinois to 45 in southeast Indiana, 36 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, cloudy with scattered flurries in northern Indiana, elsewhere partly to mostly cloudy, and lows from 10 in far northwest Illinois to 30 in southeast Indiana. Champaign-Urbana will see a low of 22. And for tomorrow, aside from clouds and some snow showers and flurries in northern Indiana, the two-state area should see just a mix of clouds and sunshine. And highs tomorrow will range from 22 in far northern Illinois to 44 in the far south, 33 in Champaign-Urbana. For Saturday, snow will move in, accumulations of at least a couple inches likely in Champaign-Urbana with a high of 28. And Sunday, partly to mostly sunny and a high of around 30. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.